Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, June 13th, 2022, and tonight's topic is going to be about vetting the GOP candidates. What are the right questions to ask? I got a lot of questions submitted. So in addition to the ones, what are the more obvious ones that I posted on the show page, people were sending in a lot of them. So feel free to call in and join the discussion, share what your questions are, what you think the right answer is, and those types of things. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Now we're going to go ahead and start off the show with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And if you believe in the United States of America, you ought to be willing to say that pledge. You ought to be able to say one nation under God, liberty and justice for all, because that's what it all stands for. So please, if you haven't said the Pledge of Allegiance lately, go ahead and say it. Just as we frequently say the pledge and also the American Creed. Just some very basic reminders of what we are here for, what we stand for, and why we have to resist, do not comply with the insanity of what's going on around us, because it is crazy out there. Now, before we get into our list, and I can see Dr. Tolbert's going to be joining us here, and he's got his list of questions as well. And so we're going to go to him in just a couple of minutes. But a couple of things I wanted to mention first is two upcoming shows. It'll be within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm kind of switching around some of the scheduling. But mental health and government control. You know, there's a lot of talk about mental health and the gun control stuff. But don't for a minute think that they aren't related in the sense of government control. We got to understand what's going on right now with the gun control. It's all to take over this country. Our country is under attack right now. We have to understand there are evildoers, there are Marxist, communist, treasonous traitors amongst us and in public office who are doing everything they can to take down this country. Everything that Biden is doing is to take down this country. The fuel stuff, the fuel, which is going to take away our transportation, our food supply, health care, too, as far as that goes, and all these various products that are dependent on it, it's all to break us. Their intention is to break us. So take away that, and then the invasion on the southern border. It's all about taking down this country. We are under attack. We have to realize that. If you believe in America and you believe that we should continue to be a sovereign nation, you must understand those in office today, such as Biden and Cheney and these other nutcases out there, doesn't matter what party they're in, they're out there trying to destroy this country. And what they will do is bring us to our knees. That's their intent. So that we surrender, if you will, and cave into them. But we cannot cave in. We cannot comply with their unconstitutional things. The lady running, Carrie Lake from Arizona, she's wonderful. I watched her on one of the shows last night or whatever. She is saying the whole story. And you listen to her. I feel exactly the same as she does with what they are trying to do. So please understand that. And understand that mental health, and we're going to have a show. We're going to talk about mental health, what they did years ago to put people in the insane asylums. Anybody that doesn't agree with them must be nuts, so they're going to put you in a padded cell. You better expect this to happen. And people are thinking that, no, that's not part of this. It will be. It will be part of us. Anybody who disagrees or believes in the Second Amendment must be a nutcase and needs to be locked up in a padded cell. So please watch out. This mental health, what they're trying to do with mental health, be very careful. Be very suspicious. Just be aware. The other thing that we're going to show on is the excessive abuse of executive orders. Whoever gets in there, if we get these Republicans in there, and we're not a bunch of rhinos, we get a few constitutionalists in there, we need to take serious action to we're not supposed to have a dictator, and that's what we have today. What Biden is doing is much more of what a dictator would do, and it really amounts to a lot of what FDR did as to the way his New Deal and how he changed and took away the rights of the people. We must understand that executive orders are not supposed to be for this type of dictatorship, and that's what they've become today. So you've got to make sure you take care of that. We've got to take care of that as well. And we're going to have a show about it. We're going to talk about what are executive orders, why were they there, how are they being abused, how is this president using them to take down our country, violate our rights, and are his executive orders and other actions treasonous, which I would say yes, they are. And so, and then what are the GOP people going to do about it if they get in there? The one other thing real quick, I guess I should say, I'm sure some of you watched the January 26th fiasco, whatever. That was such a joke. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw bits and pieces of it. And they used our tax dollars to try to have a massive, massive political campaign on TV. So it was disgusting. And they're going to be having more, but I won't be watching them. And people need to turn it off. You really need to not. And go out there and object to using tax dollars for political campaigns and smear tactics like this, is because it wasn't a hearing. It wasn't that at all. It was a farce. Okay, and then the one last thing. This was last week, I believe, it actually got filed. A group of doctors, and Pierre Corey, I think, is the one of the doctors leading the charge, but there's a group of them, are suing the FDA over their refusal to use ivermectin. And he's got a book out, or it's coming out, whatever. Ivermectin could have ended the pandemic. And it's a very, very much true. We have to go after these people because this is part of killing us too. What they've done with COVID was all a depopulation and an election control ordeal. And here they had known treatments. There would have been no vaccines if they would have followed the law. They were not. It was illegal to have a vaccine when there were known treatments for the illness. Emergency use authorization was strictly because they said there were no known treatments. That was a lie. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were two of the most common that were readily available, and the doctors knew it. So it's a lawsuit out there against the FDA, which is great. I really hope they get there. But people need to understand, it was another thing, another attack on us. And unfortunately, Trump was standing there when this was happening. And a lot of questions, I put questions out there for Trump and I understand he's not a doctor, this warp speed, operation warp speed, whatever, to try to get this vaccine out there faster. I deep down believe he was trying to do the right thing, but it was the wrong thing. And once he knew the hydroxychloroquine was an option, somebody in his administration should have told him, you can't do emergency authorization. That's why he stopped talking about it. I personally believe is why he stopped talking about it. But what they did is killed a lot of people, murdered. They murdered people, crimes against humanity, murder, for not using the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine when those were known therapies. And instead, they were too concerned about giving big pharma mega bucks, no liability, to inject people jabs with all these deadly vaccines to kill people. And people are going to die. We already know there's been many people who have died from them. There will be more who die. And they say 3 to 5 years. We just watch and see. And because it won't happen all right at the same time, it's not like you get the jab and then you walk out the door and drop over. It'll take longer, but you'll see the death toll. It was all part of the Bill Gates depopulation, along with the Marxist Democrats that are out there trying to take over the election as well. It was all a variety, but very much in the fact of the matter was, it was to take down this country, to kill us, to destroy us, and they're not going to give up. We have to understand these people are not going to give up. So please keep that in mind. And then if you you want to call Liz Cheney and tell her what a wonderful performance she did. It was her performance on that stupid hearing thing. There's a couple numbers. Call her office and say what you really think and say, yeah, wonderful. The different phone numbers, I'll give you three of them here. You can call between her D.C. office and her Wyoming. I think she's got five offices in Wyoming, four offices. That's ridiculous. Taxpayers paying for all these offices. 205-225-2311. That's DC, 202-225-2311. Or Casper, Wyoming is 307-261-6595. Again, that's 307-261-6595. And then one of the other ones, I think it might have been Cheyenne, 307-772-2595. 307-772-2595. Call our office and say, gosh, you ought to go on and be a host on CNN. I think it was Bill O'Reilly who's out there saying she's already got a job at CNN. Excuse me, because they know she's not going to get reelected. If she would get reelected in Wyoming after everything she has done, the Republican Party is beyond help. It's totally nuts. Okay. And I'm going to say just two of my questions, and then I'm going to get Dr. Tolbert in here so that he can start talking about everything going on. He can give us an update on some of the things he's been doing, but also questions he thinks are important for the candidates, the GOP candidates. And I'm definitely with Dr. Tolbert, as I'm sick of the two-party system. So unfortunately, it's a reality that we have to deal with one way or another, but I am totally in agreement. We need to get real Americans. We need to get constitutionalists. No party affiliation crapola. But for right now, everybody's focusing at a minimum. You talk to a Republican candidate, ask them these questions. Ask them, and if they don't give you the right answer, don't vote for them in the primary. We've got to have, and if we can't find a candidate that actually has the right answers to any of this stuff, we're in trouble. We really are. So anyway, my first basic question, and I started doing this, and they kind of, you get this weird, almost the deer in the headlights look when you ask a Republican, are you a conservative or a constitutionalist? They kind of look and say, what? Are you a conservative or a constitutionalist? Conservatives aren't necessarily constitutionalists. I need a constitutionalist. I want somebody who actually believes in the Constitution of this country, and, of course, the Constitution of the state of Florida, whatever state you're in. I'm a constitutionalist. They say it, but it's almost like they don't know what to say. If they don't believe in the Constitution, if they're not going to uphold that, then don't vote for them. What's the purpose? And then one of the other big questions, should Biden be impeached? If yes, why? Now, of course, I know there's many reasons to impeach him, but if I would ask that to a Republican and they give me that deer in the headlights, or they say, oh, no, kind of like what Kevin McCarthy's saying, we're not going to play the same games that they played with Trump. We're not going to do those same kind of things. That was the wrong thing to do, blah, blah, blah. They go along with that kind of garbage. When you say, should Biden be impeached, do not vote for them. They're a rhino to the max. Why would you want to vote for anybody who would not go after Biden for all the treasonous things he's done, like allowing and inciting a invasion of our country at the southern border? They're doing this because they're trying to take us down. They're allowing an invasion and a takeover of our country. And then, of course, look at all the stuff he's done with the communist countries between Ukraine and with China. And Ukraine has been part of all this garbage going on with the with Hunter Biden and all the other corrupt deals and everything else. So, but aiding these other countries, aiding communist China, the deals, and right now, the evidence seems to be there that can truly prove what's going on with this stuff. So it's treason, it's aiding the enemy, helping China take over. And there's a lot of others out there who would deserve to go along with him. Now, I'll give a certain amount of leeway that some of these representatives and senators, U.S. representatives and senators, are just too stupid when they were going out there giving deals, letting China take over our country. Take over our food supply, take over massive parts of real estate, take over Smithfield Meats, take over the Long Beach Fort at one point there. When they went, it's like, okay, so you're selling us out to China. This is what they've done. Some of them, I'm sure, were truly ignorant, stupid people. Ignorant, dumb, stupid, take your pick. And others were evil, like Joe Biden and like the Clintons and whatever else. These are people who want to take down this country, because they don't believe in a free society. They believe one world government, a great reset, communism, central government with a few people control everything, So they're doing everything they can to dumb down people as much as possible. And there was Pete Hegseth had a show on last night. I don't watch a whole lot of Fox News, but I do watch a few here and there. And it was about the miseducation in America. And it's so true. They use education to dumb people down. And as long as we're going to keep doing that, this is what's happening. We are at the 11th hour, as Carrie Lake said. We are at the 11th hour. It's time to stand up and defend this country. Do not comply with the unconstitutional things they are doing, and et cetera, et cetera. One more question, and then Dr. Tolbert will come on. ESG, what is ESG, and do you support it? If they don't know what ESG is, do not vote for them, because they don't understand what's going on in this economy and in this country. ESG is well known out there now. It's a way to use environmental social governance, as it's called. It's a way to take over, to take down businesses and say, you're going to do what we're going to do, which all comes down to what are they spending? They realize we have a fuel problem, energy problem, and what are they going to do? They're going to give money to solar and wind instead of reopening some of the fuel, the pipeline and the other stuff. But it's because they're determined to destroy this country. Anybody with a brain, even a half of a brain, knows we cannot solve our energy problem with wind and solar right now. Fine if you want to keep working towards it. It's all great to try to come up with better ways. Windmills kill a lot of birds, if anybody out there cares. And it takes a lot of energy to do it, too. So they're not the perfect solution. It doesn't mean you don't keep working towards a better solution. But right now, the fuel, the natural gas and stuff, the fossil fuels, this is what is the most economical and environmentally friendly. That's the other thing. If these people don't talk about the fact about the environment, if these people running for office don't understand that fossil fuels are less damaging to the environment, then don't elect them. They don't understand what's going on. If they don't know this stuff, how can they possibly represent? And the thing with this ESG, it's always to control the market and the economy based on whether companies are promoting solar and wind at the demise of everything else. It's wrong. It's just totally, totally wrong. Social credit, the way they're going to monitor your behavior and your actions, what you're allowed to do based on their climate agenda. Totally, totally insane. Do not vote for people who believe this way. They are rhinos. They're either rhinos or extremely ignorant and don't understand what's happening to our country. And you don't need people that are ignorant. You need people who know the Constitution, who have a clue of what's going on, and understand that we are under attack and they want to stop it. Mitch McConnell, I'm sure, knows we're under attack, but he doesn't care because he's a globalist and he's a Marxist. I don't care what party he belongs to. Then the party doesn't matter if that's the way you're going to live. If you're going to be a Marxist wearing a Republican hat, that doesn't mean you're not a Marxist. It means you're a rhino. And now the Democrat Party, which another thing that Carrie Lake had said yesterday, understand the Democrats of JFK are gone, which we've actually said that right on this show here many a times. JFK could never get elected today. He was much, much too conservative for the Democrats of today. And he's actually more conservative than half the Republicans today. So the Democrats of JFK aren't out there. That doesn't exist. That party doesn't exist anymore. You have to understand what a radical, radical party it has become. It is a true Marxist communist party, and we have to accept that fact. So if you're going to vote for a Democrat, you're going to vote for a Marxist communist. Just understand that, because that's what they're doing. Look around. You don't have to be a genius, or you don't have to be a biologist or anything else to understand what they're doing. And as long as we keep going along with it, we don't resist, we do not, and we comply with this garbage, they're going to keep doing it, and we're going to be gone. Now, with that being said, I'm going to get Dr. Tolbert in here. And Dr. Tolbert, do you hear me?
I hear you, Sally. Congratulations on the way you put things together. It's always an interesting show. And I know the audience has a lot to learn. And I ask that everybody in the audience take a pen and pencil and a paper and a chalkboard and whatever it needed and write down the information you're getting. And one of the most difficult things to do as a student when you listen to talk shows is to contradict or to agree. And you cannot do either one of the two if you can't prove your points by writing your questions down and then doing research during the show or after the show. So, Sally, you know, we want to present that to the people. Second, I want people to go to www.calltoduty.org. That's www.calltoduty.org. And I want you to go down the list of items, and you'll see systematic theology. You'll see the talking, but you're going to see what we're going to talk about tonight, which is questions presented to President Trump in Mar-a-Lago, February the 24th, 2021. Now, although these questions were presented, this was a 15-year study while I was doing my doctorate degree in education, my master's in technology, and my master's in theology. So what I'm going to do, Sally, is I'm going to give three questions, and then I'll let you pick it up, and then we'll take it from there. Question number one, did your candidate serve our country and risk his or her life to protect our freedom? Now, understand, did they serve in the military? Did they perform as a police officer? Did they work under the fire protection? Did they do anything to protect your country? You have to go back and look at that many politicians start as politicians. They get education as politicians, but they had no experience at all, period, on defense. The second question, does the candidate have an education concerning teaching the children of tomorrow? So did your candidate become a teacher? Did your candidate understand the Constitution and go to school and learn? Did he write about the Constitution? Did they understand how to teach the children and the adults in order to expand the Constitution? And the expansion of the Constitution is the ability to follow the Constitution, not for the president to disinvolve the Constitution, because the president, when he writes executive orders, actually are only to defend what Congress presented him. The third one, does the candidate represent the views of 92% of Americans that believe in God? Now, we have to go back and understand. Believing in God is not putting a religion on you. It's not saying what your religion is. It's not getting into the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's not getting into the fivefold ministry, which I do. But does the president believe in God, regardless of his religion? So those are the three topics that are important. Sally, I'll let you pick it up, and I'll add from there.
Okay. Well, we got lots of questions, good info. People just really have to understand it's up to us. And I do see looks like Sarge one out there in the chat room, so feel free to go ahead and post any comments or questions you want out there as well. I'm going to go down the list, and like I said, people were sending me questions all over the place. Dr. Tolbert's going to go over some of his questions and what the right answer is and why it's important. And when we say the right answer, the right answer is what's good for the country, what's going to save our nation, what's going to save our sovereignty and keep us from falling into the likes of a dictator by the name of Biden, falling in. And I know Dr. Tolbert knows a lot about Venezuela, so he can probably give us a little bit of an update of how they came down with Chavez and this other stuff. We don't want to be another Venezuela. You know, we have to defend ourselves. We have to protect. And the other, I say this every week, and I know people get crazy or sick of me saying it, but we cannot assume getting a bunch of Republicans in there is going to solve the problem. You're definitely not going to solve it if they're a bunch of rhinos like Liz Cheney is out there. If you get and Mitt Romney and these others, because they're part of the Marxist communist movement too. Just because someone runs as a Republican doesn't mean they're a Republican. Understand that Democrats play the system to win. They will run as anything. They will do whatever it takes. They will corrupt an election. They will do whatever it takes. So while we can do our best to try to get in people who actually believe in the Constitution and are going to do the right thing, we have to drill them and force as much of us out as possible to know or have some faith they'll do something. But we must also know that we will have to be engaged. They, you know, everything with January 6th, we have to understand that there were the evildoers in that too. How many of the people who did the violence, which was limited, was really a very small amount of true rioting / violence at the Capitol on January 6th, how many of those were true MAGA, Trump supporters, the Patriots? Very few. But they knew, the Democrats knew that was going on down there. Black Lives Matter knew and Antifa knew. They all knew this was going to go on. So they were going to make an event out of it. But the thing is, and it's just too bad that there hadn't been more communication by those organizing this to say, beware, you're going to have others that are going to tempt you, to try to entice you to go where you shouldn't go. Don't go along with it. Don't be with it. You have to understand the evildoers are all around us. The enemies are all around us. There are going to be those who are going to want to do that. Of course, to say anything to do with January 6th was anything like all the stuff we saw over the summer of George Floyd, where they're burning down buildings, blowing up cars, and killing people. It's insane. Totally insane. But the point is, the people had a right to be there. The people will probably need to go there again at some point here. It is our house. It is our capital. It is our country. We'll talk about the U.S. corporation on another call. But the point is, the people had the right to protest. The protesting wasn't the problem. It was an element there that was determined to cause havoc and to make it into some sort of a riot. Going there to protest and object to a corrupt election was the right thing to do. Those who went beyond that and busting windows and all this other stuff, that was the wrong thing to do. But don't think that those were the true, genuine patriots. There were plenty of police who stood there inviting people in. So there's you got to understand what a trap it was. The people, the patriots, had the right to protest, but you can't be that careless next time. The next time we go down there, going to have a very strong organization to say, you know, if you see this kind of stuff going on, how you're going to report it, whatever, but do not be part of it. Don't be part of the violence. Even if these people who were being invited in, if it said no, just don't go in. You can be on the outside, but don't go in the building routine. This kind of stuff. We got to be more careful because we're not going to survive. We cannot strictly depend on the Republicans to do everything. We are going to have to be engaged. We're going to have to do protests in a lot of places, not just there, but we need to be prepared to go protest. Do not comply with stupid face masks again. And also, you know, when it comes to the stuff going on at that border, they're trying to kill us with fentanyl. How many people have to die of fentanyl? And what? No one's doing anything about that. Fentanyl's killed more people than COVID has. No one seems to care. So, but it's going to be up to us. If we don't get that border secured, if, you know, you get these Republicans in there, do you think that's going to secure that border? And I've asked the question on this show before, at what point do we defend ourselves? What are we just going to stand here while they kill us? And this is what you got to ask the candidate. Ask the candidate, at what point do we defend our homeland? Our homeland is being invaded right now. How is this legal? What are you talking about it? Are you coming out and telling people what's really going on? Are you telling people, let's go back to the Constitution. Let's understand what the Second Amendment's really about, because the whole point is for us to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government plus against invasion. So the Second Amendment, this is why they got it. That's so important to understand. That's why they want the Second Amendment. And it looks like we have Joe out there ready to talk. Now, Joe, if you're there, hold on. I'll get to you. I think that's Joe. Joe, we'll get to you in just a minute. But understand that the GOP by itself isn't going to do this. It is truly up to we the people. and it is so critical to get the strong people at the state level. People have talked to me about DeSantis running for 2024, and I said, no, we need to have strong governors for that 2024 election. DeSantis would only be in office 2 years after that, but those 2 years would be critical because we need strong leaders. We have this thing called the 10th Amendment, and we need to understand what a sovereign state is. The states cannot surrender their rights. Education, what they're doing with education at the federal level, the states have to take back their rights. Reject the money at Washington, D.C., and take care of your own education. Stop this insanity. This is all part of it. But let me get to, I had another list of questions, and I want to make sure I put this out there, and then we will go to Joe. And this kind of ties into what I was just talking about. This is the Florida Citizens Alliance list, it looks like, and they're calling it School Board 2022 questionnaire, please share your understanding of the U.S. Constitution. Does the federal or state government have the right or authority to take away your individual rights? Yes or no? Explain. Now, the question seems pretty simple to me, but I don't know what most of these people on the school board, candidates for the school board, would say. But the answer is no, they don't have the right. God-given rights. The state doesn't have the right to take away. Where do your individual rights come from? Explain. Well, I just said, your rights come from God, not from government. So we got to remember this. These people think that they are the gods. They think they are the gods. They think they're in charge. They think they control us, and we're just a bunch of serfs. We have to say, no, we're not.
Can I intervene before you?
Yeah, go ahead and do a comment, and then we'll go to Jim.
Yeah, and what I want to do is, because my next book that's coming out is Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, Volume 2, is actually going into God's laws versus man. This book will actually get into the Declaration of Independence. It will go into the Constitution. It will go into the amendments. It will go into Sharia law. It will actually be 630 pages, where my last book was under 400 pages. So everything you're covering, to include marriage counseling, the Roe versus Wade, the abortions, all this is in the next book that we're writing, which is already, it's going to be published in July, and I'll send you a copy. But it's so important that the people understand that under the Declaration of Independence, under the U.S. Constitution and the seven articles and the 27 amendments, there are many things that are being overwritten by the government, and they're not following the rules of the law. When you discussed environmental, it was actually the UN dividing the nations, and there's 195 nations, into 10 subdivisions of the United States. And they were doing away with the fuel, and they were showing you how electricity in cars, which needs to be charged by the batteries, which means you have to use a fuel of electricity, which is also coming from oil and coal. And so all the things that Sally's talking about, you guys have to go back and just look at the fact that there's a basis of controlling the world through one to three people who are now using Russia, using China, using the five major countries to manipulate the entire universe. And when Sally got into Venezuela, I was doing the programs in Venezuela when I met my wife, and we were doing communism and socialism, and Maduro, who is the current president, and how the voter boxes that we used in the last election were actually assembled, controlled, and owned by Venezuela. Can you hear me, Sally?
Yep, I can hear you. That's it. Everything that's happening now, it's really following the steps of Chavez, because Venezuela was a very rich, healthy, prosperous country, and a dictator came in and took it over, took away the guns from people, it did everything. And it's just so much. Well, Joe, are you still there or not? Okay, let me get Joe out here. At least I think this is Joe. Make sure I have the right... Joe, are you there?
No, but Sarge is here. How you doing, Sally?
Oh, hey, Sarge. Sorry about that. That was my second guess. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I love the. I'm doing great now that I hear the thrust of your conversations and what your guest has said. But I'd like to just add a little more fodder to the conversation here, including one aspect that I hear almost never mentioned these days. I got five things that I think are vitally important to address for either a constitutionalist or a patriot, and I was just wondering what you might think of these five things I have in mind. Number one, is a three-war combat veteran myself and a retired police officer, I think the maintenance of the armed forces as an institution that is capable of defending this nation's legitimate national security interests against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and not as a petri dish for social justice experimentation is absolutely vital. Number two, corollary with that, is the maintenance of the citizen militia that is necessary to the security of a free state by securing the right to keep and bear arms. It literally is about the right to have weapons of war. That is why Joe Biden had to lie to you and tell you that when the Second Amendment was written, you were not allowed to own a cannon. That is literally a lie. There were no federal firearms regulations until 1934. Many, many, many people who could afford to had cannons and own them privately. It is literally about weapons of war. Number two, he said, I want someone who will oppose the illegal alien invasion of the United States. That's got to be halted forthwith, immediately. Every day it goes by, it should be an impeachable defense for both Mayorkas and Biden. Number three, maintaining this nation's sovereignty against globalist interests and impulses. Number four, to excise every vestige of Fabian socialism and Marxism that has infected nearly every institution in the United States, every bit of academia, wherever you go, you see either vestiges or outright insinuations of Marxism in every popular thought going on today. I mean, it's everywhere, everything. And finally, this is something I don't hear mentioned much. It died down after President Trump brought it up in 2011, but it's got to be revisited by an Article III court or some other proper adjudicatory body. What constitutes an Article II, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen that is eligible, who is eligible to assume the office of President or Vice President of the United States? It is not, I believe it is not Barack Obama, it is not Kamala Harris, it is not Ted Cruz, it is not even John McCain. It is not a whole host of people like Tulsi Gabbard and others. None of them are natural-born citizens, and no one is willing to take the issue and have an Article III court define for us what a natural-born citizen is. I think this is another imperative thing that is ignored and needs to be brought up somewhere by somebody with the guts to put it forth.
And I could not agree with you more on just about everything you said there. You're 100% talking about what they've done with our military, how they have used it for the wokeism, if you want to call it, what they've tried to do and to pervert it. It's downgraded it. It's made it less strong than what it should be. So totally disgusted what they've done there. And, of course, Amendment 2, what Biden said. I mean, Biden says whatever he thinks is going to say, what's going to agree. He's a pathological liar, and he's a socialist, and he's a communist. I mean, the guy, even when he was in the Senate years ago, I mean, you got to think about, this guy has done nothing in his life, really, except leech off a system and use the system to profit for him and his family and everything else. The guy, he needs to be impeached. He has been he's so guilty of treason in so many ways. And I'm sure he's guilty of the treason, the stuff that we know that he was doing when he was part of the Obama administration. And then Lord only knows all the things he did all the time when he was a senator and stuff like that. The guy needs to be impeached. But do you truly think, and let me ask you this, do you think the Republicans have the backbone to do what it takes? I know there's some that do, but do you think they have the backbone to do what it takes to impeach that guy?
Because I think once you've been in office for a certain period of time, and that varies from individual to individual, you become more focused on the process and on the idea of, quote, getting things done, unquote, than you are on whether or not what you are doing is, in fact, constitutional and in the best interest of the United States, which is an argument, I would imagine, for term limits, even though I'm not really that crazy about the idea of term limits. But I would agree that argues in favor of term limits. I think that's what happens to many, even of the best intention politicians. They get caught up in process and being afraid to say they didn't do something or get some meaningless or a counterproductive legislation passed to show they're doing something on Capitol Hill. Oftentimes, I feel safer with regard to our liberties and the fate of our nation when Congress is not in session. Of course, there's sometimes they do some things every once in a while. They stumble upon some particularly egregious thing that comes up, like the Voting Rights Act, that H.R. 1 bill, which was among the most god-awful legislation ever proposed, and they did stop that. But aside from things like that, no, I think they just get caught too much up in the process. They literally don't see that first and foremost, everything they do, the first thing they ought to say is, what is our constitutional basis to do it, number one, and then number two, will it be good for the United States? Because even things that can be constitutional can be bad, like prohibition, which we all know is counterproductive. So the first question that should be asked is this constitutional? Then number two, how will this benefit the United States and its people? But it's often the questions they're not asked. The question is, what can we get through this legislative session?
Well, yeah, and it does go to the term limits. It's because these people do get embedded. That's why they get stuck in this process, because in the end, with the likes of a Pelosi or a Schumer that are holding, you know, who's going to be on what committee and this and that and all this other stuff, only because they've been there forever and ever, and they have such a network, especially with the special interest groups and how they control D.C. So I personally believe Thomas Jefferson was very right. You've got to have term limits. Otherwise, these people allow themselves to gain power that they weren't supposed to be. They're supposed to be citizen representatives, not these elitists that they've become. Whenever you get rich going into public office, doing public service, there's something wrong. The veterans, as you well know, don't get rich like that. Why are these people getting rich going into public office? It's so disgusting.
And when we look at the fact that this country was blessed, and I mean it was blessed, I get so sick of attacks on the founders and the founders of the country and the framers of the Constitution, because after all, you know, we're talking about the 18th and 19th centuries and all that, and of course they didn't have the same attitudes about things we have today, but they were the most brilliant group of philosophical and political minds ever be assembled in one place at one time in the history of mankind, and they came up with an idea and ideas that are simply transcendent for all times and all places. That Declaration of Independence is the most perfectly realized document attesting to transcendent objective moral truth that has ever been written. And they came up with the idea, for instance, that congressmen, they came up with a bicameral legislature. You got House of Representatives every 2 years, you got to vote them in. Clearly, they didn't mean for these people to be in power forever. Even though they wanted people to have the option to stick with a good one, I guess they figured that they trusted the citizenry to elect people that would be worthy of being elected every 2 years. But they saw that the House of Representatives, which is the most direct representative of people, should not be permanent because every 2 years. They saw something to represent the states that would be a bit more permanent. They put senators in there for 6 years, and they would be elected by the state legislature. Of course, that was undone with the 17th Amendment. So actually what we got now is the Senate is kind of a supernumerary House of Representatives, and that ain't the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a representative. The Senate is supposed to be a representative for each of its individual states.
And that's why
I wish God we would end this notion that we live in a democracy. The word democracy is not mentioned in the Constitution anywhere. The word republic is mentioned 3 times. And there are many anti-democratic elements in our Constitution. I mean, why should Rhode Island have as many votes in the Senate as California does? Because they didn't want big states like California, New York, and even Texas to dominate everything. They wanted the whole country to have a say in national elections, for instance, among other reasons. And that's why they gave every state two senators, no matter how big or how small it is. That's an anti-democratic element. Your rights, your individual rights are not up for a vote. I mean, you get a guy who's a pedophile or a rapist, everybody in the town might want to take him out and lynch him and not give him due process. That's not up for a vote, no matter how many people want to do it. He's got a right to due process, no matter how many people don't want him to have it. That's another anti-democratic element. The Constitution is full of anti-democratic elements. I want people to emphasize, I wish they would anyway, that we have a constitutional representative republic, not a democracy. They're trying to make it into one, and they think they're going to be holding the reins of it. I'm talking to the people who are anti-constitutional and anti-United States. They think they're going to hold the reins of this democracy, and they'll be able to get the mob that is going to be the wolves voting, the three wolves and the sheep voting on what they have for lunch.
But isn't it scary that you have all these people elected to public office who say we're a democracy? And this, it doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or Republicans. They how many of them say this, and how many people, because of obviously the failed educational system, but you got these people in public office that are saying this too. It's like, well, we're a democracy. They keep saying we're a democracy. No, we're not.
I keep cringing every single time I hear it, no matter who says it. Yes, there are democratic elements in our Constitution. That's it. Democratic elements. I mean, the Electoral College is not a democracy. Actually, strictly speaking, even though I know that if they were to do it this way, whoever would propose the legislation would get voted out of office in the next term, but the states don't have to let you vote for president. I mean, the Constitution has no requirement that individual citizens be allowed to vote for president. The state selects electors by whatever means it chooses to, and it sends that slate of electors to make a vote and send their results to the Senate and the President Pro Tem of the Senate. So there is no you don't have a democratic right to vote for president, strictly speaking. Your state gives it to you because every state is elected to do it that way because that's the popular will. But there's nothing in the Constitution that requires it.
Yeah, I don't know if Nathan's out there listening right now, but we've had many discussions on that Electoral College, and we'll probably be doing a show on that, too, before this election.
Exactly.
Because
it
we know that's a big
strictly
thing.
Speaking, it's not democratic. I mean, the Constitution says the states shall determine, pick the electors in such a manner as the state shall direct. And the state, at every state these days, has chosen to do it by letting the people in the state elect the electors. Okay, that's good. I'm not that I'm complaining about it, because I'm not. I think that's the way to do it. I'm simply saying the Constitution does not give you an individual right to vote for president. It gives the state the right to elect them to a slate of electors.
And that's that electors, the way the wording of electors is in the Constitution is what people will dispute, saying the people are the electors, not saying there's it goes back and forth, but it's an excellent point in what the intention was.
The main point I'm trying to make here is that there are many, 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 many anti-democratic elements in the Constitution. It's a republic. It's a constitutional republic. That constitution is the supreme law of the land over and above everything, over and above every bureaucrat, over and above every statute, over and above every single regulation, over and above everything. It is the supreme law of the land. You cannot make a dog leash law that is not in conformance with the Constitution, because that's supposed to be overarching everything. And we don't have enough emphasis on that these days.
Well, we don't have enough emphasis on teaching the Declaration, because that's the other piece of this. People don't understand, without the Declaration of Independence, we don't need a Constitution. The Constitution is supposed to be the guiding light to ensure what those rights that are guaranteed to you by the Declaration.
It absolutely informs the Constitution. The thoughts behind the Declaration inform the Constitution the way it was made up. And if you think about it, a constitution is not a grant of authority, it is a limitation on authority. I mean, that's literally what it is. At every aspect in the Constitution, you see limits on governmental power. It's a system of federalism. You have power and authority that's dispersed through numerous levels of government, from local, state, county, up to the federal government. And the federal government's powers are supposed to be defined. It doesn't even mean that they have to be small or limited. Whatever they are, they're supposed to be specifically enumerated and defined, whether there are lots of them or only a few. The problem is now we have an unaccountable, unelectable, autocratic bureaucracy that these politicians have make some, oftentimes vague legislative edicts, and they turn them over to bureaucrats to decide what their parameters are going to be. That's why we got the ATF. The ATF is abusing its authority all the time. They literally will take a look at what the law says, passed by the legislature, and they say, we determined that a bump stock all of a sudden is something that turns your rifle into a machine gun, even though the definition in the law says separate pull for each round that goes down range. But bureaucrats say, no, we the society, a bump stock is a machine gun. A sliding piece of plastic in and of itself, detached from the weapon, is a machine gun. This is the kind of thing these bureaucrats do all the time. They do it with environmentalism. They do it with, Wickard versus Filburn, which is kind of a bit afield from what I was just talking about, but that had to do with the Congress aggrandizing interstate commerce power unto itself. That was also, along with Dred Scott, that was one of the worst constitutional decisions ever made by the Supreme Court, because it truly expanded the power of the federal government beyond all recognition. Everything that they say can affect interstate commerce means we now get the chance to put a hook in.
Well, let me ask you this, and then we'll get Dr. Tolbert in here, too, because I'm sure he's got a few comments, too, and I'm trying to remember the various points because I was in agreement with all of them. If assuming, and the process is not clean by any means, say we get the Republicans in there in 2022, and not going to talk about the Trump issue, but say in 2024 we end up getting a Republican in the White House. I'd much rather have just a constitutionalist, but for the sake of the discussion, the Republican in the White House. Do you think we have the likelihood? I think we need some amendments. I think there needs to be either the amendments, or we have to go back and reinstate some of the Constitution and the amendments, like the Patriot Act is very unconstitutional. We need people to get rid of some of this garbage or make amendments. One, to me, I think there needs to be an amendment on executive orders. I think we now the executive orders have been so abused that we now have a dictator versus a president and these types of things. So do you think we need to get some amendments or repealing certain things? And do you think we would actually have the backbone to get that done? What do you think the people would have to do to force that? I think they try to talk about an amendment for a balanced budget, but I think that that's already in there if you follow the Constitution as it is today, and it doesn't happen. Those kind of things. So what's your thought on the amendments, and then we'll get Dr. Tolbert in here.
Yeah, this is a doozy. I'm glad you asked that. By the way, speaking of which, before I answer the question, Alex, I forgot to include in my list there, election integrity laws are an absolute must, given the revelations that have come out recently about the vote in 2020. At every state, there has to be election integrity laws instituted. But regard to your question as to whether or not we should have more amendments, well, the framers didn't make it difficult. You have to have either a constitutional convention, which many people are proposing, or you have to have two-thirds of both houses vote in a amendment proposal to send to the states, of which three-fourths of them have to ratify it. So they made it difficult. And given the level of education in these Marxist institutions we have today, that's going to be a tall order. I go along with the idea of amending certain things. I certainly want to see the bureaucratic state roll back, but look, see, if a president has to issue executive orders in order to tell his subordinates, if for no other reason than to tell his subordinates how he expects, laws that are passed by Congress to be carried out to his satisfaction, because after all, he has exercised a certain measure of judgment with this. The problem is electing these clowns who think they have the right to legislate with executive action. That's the problem. Not the fact that the president issues executive orders. That's inherent in the job of being an executive. The problem is these guys there who think they have, like you said, they think they're autocrats rather than executives.
Yeah, let's look at the executive orders of Washington versus the executive orders of Biden. I mean, we have gone from this extreme where, because I understand the need for executive orders, but they've been used as a legislative tool now, and they totally violate the intent of what they were. The nerve of using an executive order to shut down the oil industry so that you take it, which totally destroys your transportation and your food supply and many other things in your whole country. And this is a dictator who's taking us down to our knees. And also, to me, it's the other, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to what he's doing on that southern border. Totally despicable.
Yeah.
And I myself am not in favor of the Constitutional Convention, which I know Mark Levin is a big promoter of, because in this element right now, if you had a Constitutional Convention, they would probably throw they claim they can only do one thing at a time. I'm not real sure about that. But the point
the
is they could undermine the whole Constitution.
Whole thing is up for grabs if there's a Constitutional Convention.
Exactly.
Now,
they can
set rules that we're only going to consider one thing, but they're not required to limit anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's my concern. So if we're going to have amendments, they're going to go through the legislative process down to the states to be ratified, not through a constitutional convention. That's my take. And Dr. Tolbert, I'm sure you've got something to share on this conversation. This was a great discussion. I appreciate this.
Yeah, you know, and I want to go into the fact that what I've written in the past, the 7 articles of the Constitution being laid out and described in more details, because the Supreme Court rules that the articles of the Constitution that are violated by states or individuals are falling in a certain category. Then you have the 10 amendments, which include that anything that is not in the Constitution falls under the 10th Amendment, therefore the state has the right, for an example, and I want to put it very mildly, the abortion ratio with Roe versus Wade had no business in the Supreme Court. It had no business in Congress. It had no business in the executive order. It was actually a state right to put on their ballot, and the people in the state would have voted for it. So I'm against the amendments 11 through 27 totally. I think they should be eliminated. I think there should be a description by the Supreme Court of what the 7 articles are, which include, and the 10 amendments, which evaluated. The executive orders are only to enforce the Constitution or that which the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives had made statements on. So when people say we need another amendment, I'm totally against all the amendments. The 11th Amendment was totally invalid. There was other amendments that did not get voted on by the states and majority. There were things about who could not be, for an example, lawyers under the, I'm pretty sure it's the 11th Amendment, were not allowed to be on our Senate, in our Congress. They replaced it with a different amendment, calling it the 11th Amendment. We can go on and on. Now, I happen to be a retired master sergeant. I went up for command sergeant major. I spent 22 years in the military. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. I wrote a mission program. Sent it to the White House. It was approved 6 months later to protect our veterans under the VA Act of having better medical protection. So my background is quite extensive now. And based on my knowledge and my, I'm not saying anything that's being said is wrong. I'm agreeing with everything that's being said. I'm just adding the position of the misinterpretation of the 11th through the 27th, which are already covered under the 7 articles and under the 10 amendments. And if we had someone putting together another constitutional amendment, which I think it takes 70-some percent, 75% of the states in agreement, I'm pretty sure that's correct, but who knows anymore? They change things.
Oh, that's absolutely correct, sir. 3/4 of the state legislatures.
Right. That's what I – some people go with 51%, and I'm sticking with 75%. And I agree with you. Thank you. that the impossibility of it happening, I'm going to go back and say, what would the Senate, Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate, what would they have to do to say the invalidation? Would they have to take it back to the states? Would they need to get three quarters to remove the 11th through the 27th? Or could they on their own remove it? Is an interesting question that should be presented. I'm for bringing the draft back. I'm totally, you know, I'm one of the 17-year-olds that joined the Army based on background issues. 6 months, I had you had to be 18, and I spent my 22 years. There's a lot of things that people aren't experiencing in life, what they're not going through, that are just disrupting. Watching television is a waste of time. That's why with our book and everything, we're going to find something new. Go ahead, Sally.
No, go. I was just chuckling. The TV is a waste of time. The media, people need to, when you talk about watching it, a couple of things. Obviously, think about the ways that the brainwashing, the manipulating of what a culture is and by how it influences people and when you come to the entertainment perspective of it. But then when you go into the news perspective, the media, the freedom of the press has been twisted again. As it's truly a weapon against us now. And people need to understand that there's the citizen representation or citizen press kind of things, the grassroots, if you will, are the ones, the groups that you got to work with. I mean, when you talk to the mainstream media, even Fox News and even Newsmax, these are the ones that are supposed to be conservative. They don't do it half the right time right either. They go out there because they get money, because the media is for sale. It's for sale by the corporations, which are obviously very closely in line with those in public office in this whole process, that the media is the virus. The media is the virus. The media is the enemy. It's been used as a PR department for the likes of the Democrat Party, more so than the Republicans. For whatever reason, don't ask me how they aligned themselves so much in the beginning, the George Soros factor, whatever else. But people have to understand the media is the virus. The media is the enemy just as well. So you can't listen to what they're saying. But continue on.
I think that's the reason to read as widely as possible. I read what I consider. I consider myself a soldier. I spent 23 years on active duty in the National Guard. I retired as a Master Sergeant, E-8. I went in the Army and I was 18, just after I turned 18. By the time I was 19, I was a tank commander on an M48A3 tank in Vietnam and a mechanized infantry squad leader. So I know I had to grow up fast at 19 years old. I was a buck sergeant. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I want to reinstate the draft unless there's a true national emergency. But as things go right now, I think the armed forces is in dismal shape to fight a true peer adversary. I think we've been involved in these asymmetrical wars for so long. I don't know if we can handle a true peer adversary on the battlefield without suffering grievous losses. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. But I see true rot in the armed forces right now. And it's your issue of amending with the amendments to the Constitution. Yeah, I'd love to see the 16th Amendment gone in a heartbeat. I understand the ratification of the 14th Amendment constitutionally was somewhat suspect. I read the history of the way it was ratified, and I think they did it in kind of an unconstitutional manner, let's say, because, you know, the Confederate states were, after all, very reluctant to implement it. And I think they literally forced them to ratify it at the point of a bayonet, but that's the way these things are. I just don't think the country is going to go for the notion of repealing everything after the 10th Amendment. I certainly would like to see a couple of those amendments, though, gone. And I think there is no amendment. If you amend the Constitution, there's no amount of amendments, I don't believe, that you can leave off the table. If you want to have an amendment that says the 16th, 21st, or 25th Amendment are hereby repealed, that's it. As long as it's done constitutionally, those amendments are repealed. I guess that would include the 17 other ones, too, if there's a will for it.
Yeah, and
well,
I just a
quick update there. The 13th Amendment was the missing 13th Amendment. That was the one that was not going to allow attorneys, barristers, to be elected to public office. I remember that one a while back. And it was actually ratified, but they played games with it and lost the ratification, so to speak, or whatever. Acted like the last state didn't ratify it, but they really did. Because I didn't want a bunch of attorneys in there doing this. Because what do attorneys stand for? They stand for nothing, truthfully. They argue the case on either side of the law. They can manipulate it to make anything mean nothing at all. And that's the way laws are written now. So you can go out there and twist in a lawsuit the way you can manipulate and twist it. So they really didn't want attorneys out there, but that was the 13th Amendment. Go ahead, Dr. Tolbert.
Yeah, and when I was in Vietnam in 1967, 68, and I was with the Navy SEALs, even though I was in the Army Signal Corps, and then I was in the White House when Reagan was president and decided that at 22 years it was time to just evacuate. And as you were, sir, you know, I was ended up leaving as an E-8. I went up for sergeant major because I had finished my bachelor's degree. And you were then going to spend two more years in the military. And in 1981, 82, when I got out, it was decided by me that the military was being corrupted. When you go back into the draft, it's called Education, Production, and Defense. Currently, the United States is totally non-defendable. We don't have a military anymore. We have a group of individuals that are not trained, not managed, and not taken care of. For the young persons of 18, 19 years old going in for 2 years, getting their education, being trained, we would bring America back into the wholesome agreement that was done when I was in the military, when you was in the military. We would take our young men and we would train them. We're focused on men's awareness program and focusing on men awareness program that in the United States of America, our men are in jail, they're unemployed, and they're no longer taking on their responsibility by a large percentage over the last 40 years. Our men have failed to follow the words supposed to be following. The women today are multiple women having children without legality of a husband. We are finding a corruption through our entire society, regardless of race, creed, or color, or sexual preference. We're having a disruption of everything in America. So my focus on bringing the draft back, educating our men, placing them in an educational program, setting up our defense of our country. I was in Iran when they overthrew the embassy. I was in different countries at many different times throughout my military experience. So my issues are we are no longer a separate, strong country. Nobody would come against the United States if we defended ourselves. Our defense was being in other countries. We have removed ourselves from many European nations. We're no longer substantial. Where I could before as a security officer, even though enlisted, I was able to bring 2 million, 1 million, 250,000 troops, people into a world in 48 hours. Today, we couldn't do it in 2 years.
Well, I'll tell you that, Doctor. You know, I think many of our young men today are being infantilized. I think that's one of the worst things that's being done to men today. After all, you can be on your parents' health care plan until you're 26. But God's sake, I never imagined I'd still be at home when I was 19. I just couldn't imagine. I'm going to be out of my parents' house. Not that I didn't love my parents. I loved them. They were wonderful parents. But I knew I'm obligated to be taking care of myself when I'm 18. And, you know, and one thing about, as you said, about being in the Army, here I'm a 19-year-old sergeant, and like I said, I started out as tank commander in Vietnam, and I was expected to be as responsible and as capable and as competent as the oldest tank commander in my platoon or company. A guy was 33 years old, and they didn't treat me any differently. The officers, my commanding officers and others, didn't treat me any different. They had the same expectations of me and said, didn't matter that I was 19 years old, and according to these people today, my prefrontal lobes hadn't developed fully. They said, no,
right.
This is your job. This is what we expect from you. And if you don't, there are going to be consequences for you if you don't do it. But today, I think young men and young people in general are being infantilized. I've never seen anything like it.
Amen. Amen.
Does that mean someone will grow up?
Yeah, and we supported, you know, in the Army Signal Corps, I was actually with in Coochie and Duqua and many places where the tank commanders were doing, and we were providing the communication for a lot of different elements to include the Navy. And, you know, they would put me out there in a situation where there was nobody. We had no officers. We had no American troops. We were placed in situations. We had to defend the lines. We, even though you call yourself Army Signal Corps, you were a defender. You were in the infantry. You were whatever it took to be. And but, you know, I didn't get to go to school until I was in my 30s. You know, I'm a high school dropout. I got my GED at 30-some years old, got my bachelor's degree before I was 40, and I was 69 when I got my doctor degree and two other masters. So, you know, it's an interesting background, but we have to just keep working on it. Don't stop. I just turned 80 years old, and I'm publishing my first two books.
Great for you.
Well,
yeah, I know.
I got a high school
GED to go in the Army too, and unfortunately, I only spent about, I don't know, maybe 6 months in City College, and then I left. I never went back. But I got my education through other means, and in a way, I'm kind of glad I did, because I think I avoided being indoctrinated. But but what's going on now is really god awful. I mean, the level of indoctrination, this. Thought policing.
Well,
we literally had an attempt to implement a ministry of truth in the United States. It's still going on. They're just saying we had the wrong person as the head of it. This scary Poppins woman, Nina Jankowicz. Okay, well, she's the wrong pick. We'll pick somebody more sober, more judicious to head up a ministry of truth in the United States. I mean, people are not being taught things that are bulwarks of Western civilization, like linear reasoning, like the scientific method, like empiricism and epistemology and all the things that have made Western civilization so great. No, they're being taught the proper way to think. And that's what's so insidious now.
Okay, and with that being said, we're going to get back questions that need to go to these candidates and what the right answer and what the wrong answer is. Karen Schoen, she's joining us right now too. And when it comes to education, what are the key questions? And I was starting to ask a few of them off that other list that somebody had sent me. But the key questions when it comes to education, what are you going to ask of these candidates? Are you going – what is it going to take – I think I hear Karen's dogs in the background. Hey, Karen.
Sorry.
But the key is to get rid of the Federal Department of Education, which has to be done at both the state and the federal level. I mean, we got to get – you really could shut down the Federal Department of Education if you would get your state people to do the job, because all they got to do is say, no, we're not taking your money. No, we don't want it. The Constitution does not give the authority to the federal government. And what about getting rid of the Energy Department and all these other quasi-governmental agencies that are not elected by us that are making public policy? There's something totally, totally screwed up on this. And Karen, I know you're the education person, so well, I'm going to let you throw that out there to you first, and then we'll continue on with the discussion.
Well, first of all, if they're in the federal election process, then you want to ask them if they ever looked at the education code. And right now, the education department is doing everything in opposition to the education code, which basically says this department is put in place to make sure that states have an education department. And that's all. So they have usurped power. And they are involved in curricula, which they are never supposed to be involved in. And unfortunately, then we have to turn to our state representatives and say, hello, what about the 10th Amendment? And will you fight to get rid of the Department of Education and be strong in education in our state? Now, in Florida, that is a positive. But in the blue states, we're going to wind up with the same negative. However, again, that's what America is about. So eventually, if we actually taught our kids anything, they would learn. They would be, they're like little sponges. And our legislators' lack of knowledge of the Constitution and of the 10th Amendment is staggering. And then when you talk to them and you ask them about CRT or SEL, some of them, they know the call letters, but they don't know what it stands for. They don't know what it means. And in reality, what's happening is through Common Core, which we told the Department of Education not to do because it will definitely take the children, take the students, and put them 2 years behind grade level. Well, they didn't listen, and guess what? Our students are now 2 years behind grade level. Many of them are more because of COVID. So here we have a situation where all we are doing is training mediocre people to be yes people for the federal government. That's what education has become. So unless you get a legislator who understands that, they're not going to act on it because they have no idea. So that is up to us. We are the ones that have to hammer that on their heads, and when they get in office, hold them to what they say. And unfortunately, we the people haven't been doing that, and that has what has created some of the problem. And I strongly believe that with all of these shootings in school, there's multitudes of reasons as to why they happen. But the most important reason, nobody mentioned. And what would that be? That's education. We're not training our kids to be grounded in fact, in truth. We are guiding them to be grounded in value. But whose value? LGBTQ value? Now, I was listening to the gentleman who is a veteran. Did he care what color skin was of the person that was in, that was working with him? It, when you're on the battlefield, does it matter if you're wearing a helmet with rainbow colors? The insanity is there on purpose, and the purpose is to divide the people. And then to create mediocre people who will just act on emotion and interact with computers and artificial intelligence who will answer all the tough questions. So they don't feel that humans are smart enough to answer the tough questions. They will rely on the computers and AI to do that, but a computer is not emotional. So they need that from the people in order for this whole program to work. And that's what they're guiding. They're guiding our kids to become mediocre drones that can just shake their head and say, oh, but I was only following directions. And that's what they're looking at.
Well, I mentioned the Karen, real quick. I mentioned the ESG stuff earlier, and if a candidate does not know what ESG is, gives you that deer in the headlights kind of thing, you probably shouldn't elect them because they don't know what's going on, and they don't understand how critical something like that is. So I want to know what your question, your key question is, for these GOP candidates, and then I believe it was Dr. Tolbert, which we have two veterans on tonight, Sarge and Dr. Tolbert, so they can both chime in after. But I want to know what is one of your biggest questions? You know, what's a showstopper, if you will, when it comes to these Republican candidates?
Can your kids read and write and do math? Because they can't. And that's the problem. And the rest of it doesn't mean anything. Can they read the Constitution? No, they can't read anything. Can they understand the Bill of Rights? No, they don't understand anything. They're only taught to be totally emotional. So what I would ask a candidate, what would you do to get rid of SEL, which is the human equivalent of ESG? That's the rating system that the humans will be under, the social credit, and what they will do to ensure that it does not, it's not in the schools. And in reality, it's there no matter what. So what we really should do is say, are you willing to tell the Department of Education to trash every single textbook and pick up new ones? And if they're not willing to do that, then why do you need them? Because the textbooks, I love it when somebody, I was reviewing one of the textbooks, and CRT, critical race theory, remember the governor wrote an executive order banning CRT. So what did they do? They took out the name, CRT. So if you go to any of the textbooks and you do the search, because they're all online, and you look for CRT, it's not there. And then they get to say, it's not there. We don't have CRT. No, we have SEL, same thing. If they don't know that, they don't know what's going on. And you can't, my favorite word when talking to somebody like that is next, because they have no clue. Why do you need them? Why do you need clueless people? We need people who understand what's going on and will work to get rid of it. And
okay,
our kids won't have a fighting chance if they don't.
Exactly. And, of course, you were talking about the kids being able to read the Constitution. What about these morons in public office that don't know the Constitution or the Declaration either? Why are they even there? And how do you allow a communist or a Marxist to be elected into public office, because there's no way they can uphold that oath of office? So we'll let Dr. Tolbert go, and then we'll go to Sarge for some feedback.
Yeah, and I just wanted to bring up this second volume, God's Laws versus Man. We actually are putting Common Core in it. I wrote the first article in October 2014, and I previously put articles together under Common Core and the violation. Under the hybrid school system where you have interaction, we're actually in 195 countries. We're now in 45 countries that we're teaching in. We're teaching them everything that you're talking about. We're involved heavily in Africa, in Pakistan, in Cambodia, in India. We're doing a circumference of teaching. It's on-the-job training. It's the classroom, and it's home study. So virtual interaction is actually that you have to have a computer to study with. You have to interact, but you have to go to a classroom for association. But then you got to have on-the-job training. So we're taking it back to the old school. We're teaching people the old school. You know, I picked corn when I was young. I hoed watermelon. I did things that we don't do anymore with our children. When I worked in a grocery store, now the people are 70, 80 years old working in grocery stores, what I did when I was 13 and 14. So Common Core is totally an illegal. The Department of Education doesn't fall under the Constitution. It is totally illegal. The states are only following the federal government's Department of Education because of the amount of money they're receiving. The states are not enforcing the Constitution. Florida is in violation of 6 constitutional amendments, as are other states, Karen. When this book gets finished, I'm going to be sending a copy. Our books are laid out at 14 font, 600 and some pages. Everything you're talking about tonight is in this next book. The book that follows Volume 3 is Parochial Schools versus Public Schools. It's how to formulate education, how to formulate a school, how to put it together under a Christian organization, how to get out of the systems that are not working, how to formulate a better education. Our book is currently translated in Pakistan. It's translated in Kenya, Africa, and it's translated in Spanish. And here we are, you know, one day at a time. God will deliver us, and we'll be doing what we need to do. Thank you.
Okay, and I don't know if you want to put out there what your question is for these candidates in reference to this education piece. What would be your question to the candidate? And then we'll go to Sarge.
I have to stay with the question that everybody and what we write about. Do you know the U.S. Constitution, and are you going to be able to enforce the U.S. Constitution? If they can't answer that question, there's no other question you need to ask a candidate. They have to be able to say. I was asked 37 questions when I ran for president, when I ran for governor, when I ran for the U.S. Senate. Every question I was asked is on the website, Sally.
Okay, well, we'll definitely encourage people to go out there again, and before we go, we'll go back to remind everybody your website. But, yeah, that's the truth. But, the, you know, the thing is, if you're going to ask that question, you better be ready to drill them. Like, do they know what the 10th Amendment is, which I'm afraid many of them probably don't, and that should be one of the most obvious. They know the First and the Second Amendment, but go after that. They don't. Most of them, the ones that are in there now. Just because you're an attorney doesn't mean you know the Constitution. In fact, I think it's the opposite. If you're an attorney, you probably know it the least. Well, with that being said, Sarge, what are you thinking? What is your question for these candidates and any comments that Karen
has?
Yeah,
I definitely do. Boy, it's a great conversation. Sally, look, your caller, your guest, your other guest said it almost perfectly. You talk to these students. In fact, you talk to most Americans today. You look at these man-on-the-street interviews. You look at people being asked questions about the great issues of the day, and they're often phrased like this: how do you feel? And response is, well, I feel that. Now notice the word think is almost never used. Now when I went to school, and like I said, I got a high school GED to go in the Army. All of my subsequent education has largely been while learning in the Army and as a police officer, you know, dealing with the law and all that other stuff. Everything else has pretty been that. But when I went to school in high school, I got a pretty good education in high school. It was pretty comprehensive. And it included a thing that I you know, the classical pedagogical approach to education, the grammar, dialectic, formal logic, rhetoric stages. They'd use methods like the Socratic method, like the scientific method, like all of these things that will go to make you think, make you reason, make you be able to objectively and linearly reason. This is something that, like you're calling sit on. It's emotion-based. Everything is emotion. Everything is subjective. Everything is a point of view-based. I mean, and what I would ask a candidate is, to what extent are you willing to restore the classical methods of education that work to undergird and make Western civilization the greatest in mankind's history? The very things that were used traditionally to make us so incredibly spectacular. Like I said, Western civilization is absolutely spectacular, and there's a reason for it, and I think much of it used to do with education. What are you going to do to restore that classical method of education and away from this progressive, John Dewey-based system that came about in the early 20th century and has subjected education to ruination ever since by turning college campuses into little ivy-covered North Koreas? What are you going to do to reverse that? That's be my question.
We'll see what
Sally,
they will say on that one, too. Yeah. Go ahead,
Sally,
Karen.
If I may add something. I think my first question would be to ask them if they would promote a bill, if they would sponsor a bill that would bring the pledge and God back to education. Because you can't understand America if we don't, if we're not a moral people. Morality comes with God. Our country was founded on God. Our founders and most of the people learn to read by reading the Bible. So God is a great part of the history of our country. And the other is the pledge. They have taken the pledge out because it reminds people that America is a republic and owes its allegiance to God. So we need to have those back in school so that our children understand what this country was founded on, what our founding values and principles are. And right now they are doing nothing.
Yeah, we recited the pledge every day in school. I remember that well. Every day practically we recited.
And then
you
had a
moment
of silence.
When they took God out of school, I'm trying to remember how that was done and how much of that should be corrected at the state level, what the whole deal was on that one.
That was a Supreme Court Brown versus the Department of Education.
Oh, yeah.
One person didn't like God and filed a lawsuit. One person. And God was removed. How insane is that? Now, here's another a learning experience. One person. They keep on telling us America is a democracy. Well, in a democracy, majority rules. One person doesn't have the right to rule the country unless they're elected president. And right now, that's not happening. So the fact that we have allowed one person to destroy our school and make our kids into blithering drones that are incapable not just common sense, but incapable of thinking. Don't think is what they tell them. Don't think, we'll tell you what to think. Don't try, we'll tell you what to do. Don't do this, we'll tell you what to do. School is your school family. No, it's not. Your parents are your family. School is school. But by trying to make the school family, they elevate the teacher up to a spot where now everybody listens to the teacher. So if today's lesson is how to get pregnant, what do you think the kids are going to do?
That's what they're going to do. You know that, don't you?
All right. Yes, I forgot.
Yep.
I forgot.
Exactly. And it brings up the point, too. It's what are they going to do? What kind of bill would they sponsor out there? And when it comes to reversing this insane ruling with the God thing from the Supreme Court, what are we going to do to take that back to a state's right? Because I don't know. I'm trying to remember if in the Constitution any place it says education refers to God kind of thing. So if it's not in the Constitution, then it doesn't belong at the federal level. It's at the state level. So what we have to do, and we've got to keep in mind as we talk about who we're electing, you got to we talk a lot at the federal level, but we also got to remind ourselves the role that the state plays. We've got to get people who actually, you know, if you don't know what the 10th Amendment is, you don't belong in the state house. You know, they That's need to remember what it's about, and we need to start imposing states' rights again, too. This is another piece that's just been totally blown out of the water to me, that we don't have the states' rights, and get rid of that Patriot Act. I said that already once, but I'm going to mention that one again. What they're going to do to get rid of that kind of stuff, too. Now, I'm going to kind of jump down here. The education is obviously one of the biggies, but I went out there. One of my questions I was going to put that I have out there is energy and the environment. I talked about this, I don't know, it was last week, the week before. When are we going to get, I mean, are the current candidates and those in public office, the Republicans, are they really this ignorant, dumb, clueless to not understand the true impact of electric cars on the environment? This is kind of like, I feel like it's another COVID vaccine thing where we're being sold something that nobody seems to listen to the true science. The true science is, the lithium batteries and all that stuff are much more harmful to the environment and also costly than what the fossil fuels is. But we have to understand fossil fuels has nothing to do with the environment. It's all to do with control. So where are the Republicans? Are they too dumb to understand this basic fact? I never hear a Republican say the lithium batteries are more dangerous and harmful to the environment than what the fossil fuels are. I never hear them say that. They act like it's all wonderful. And I never hear them say the wind is killing off the birds. I don't hear them say the solar is destroying the land and the farmlands and stuff. What is it with these Republicans? Are they really this clueless? Or what are they scared of? I don't know, because they're not following the science. And going back to the vaccine thing, what are they going to do to go out there and prevent ever having such an insane mandate for the public on these vaccines, which were not approved, which were not constitutional? Does anybody, or by what the FDA, I should say FDA, what should be done with the FDA as a quasi-governmental entity by itself, and by FDA regulations, the vaccines could only get emergency use authorization if there were no known therapies, which hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were. So what are they going to do to address the crime against humanity, the crime and harm, because they've also given the FDA a free ride with no liability? That has to be changed too. So these are a couple of other topics. I want to know what they're going to do. Do they have the backbone to do it? Because I think they are both, I mean, they're poisoning us. The vaccine, is, as far as I'm concerned, was a death shot. You go and look and see what's going to happen, and they have no liability. No one's responsible, and yet government is trying to force everybody to do this. It's sick, absolutely sick. So I want to know what they're going to do about that one, too. So, Tolbert, Dr. Tolbert, we'll go with you first. Your comments on those, what are you thinking?
You know, it's a difficult conversation for people to fully comprehend the illegality of the Supreme Court and what they have done, and the fact that the states can actually not accept Supreme Court judgments. And when the federal government enforced the law, the governors of the 50 nations, the United States, could have said, no, we're not going to follow them because they're in violations. When they allowed the certain acts, for an example, gay marriages to take place in the state of Florida, and in the Florida's constitution, it said you had to be a man and a woman. So the Supreme Court overrode the states, which was under the 10th Amendment. So when the Supreme Court makes a ruling that violates the 10th Amendment, the state doesn't have to follow the ruling. So when we get into all this conversation tonight, we have to go back to the fact that a state has the right over the Supreme Court. The state has the right over the Senate and the House of Representatives. The state has the right over the executive. That all these things that the governors are not doing, you need to elect the proper governor. You know, we're talking about a president of the United States when our governors of our 50 states are not doing their job, Sally. So we need to get back and educate our governors. And we can get into environmental control. We can get into all the other things. I'm going to stand. Does our governor understand? Does he enforce the Constitution in his state or her state? Does he or she understand the total responsibility of a nation? And I believe that our governors do not. They get paid multi-millions of dollars under the table to violate the rights of the Constitution in a state, Sally.
Sad truth, I think, in many cases. But I do have to say, I think Ron DeSantis has embraced that 10th Amendment pretty good. I will give him credit for that one, and that's why I say we don't want him in the White House in 2024. We want him working with a constitutionalist in the White House in 2024. Karen, your thoughts.
Okay, sorry, I had to unmute. The first thing that I would do, I agree with what Dr. Tolbert is saying. The problem is they're ignorant. And it goes back to the same thing, Sally, which is your question. Don't they understand the science? Sure they do. That's what they were taught. And that's the problem. That's why I said everything needs to be trashed, because there's so little truth in any of the things that these kids are reading. And then again, it doesn't matter, because they can't read, so they read the bullet points, and that's all they send, and that's all they understand. So when I talk to one of them, and they talk to me about how wonderful electric cars are, my first question to them is, where does electricity come from? And usually I get a dumb stare. And then I repeat the question, where does electricity come from? And they say, oh, it comes from the power plant. Okay, where does the power plant get its electricity from? Oh, it comes from the grid. And where does the grid get its electricity from? Blank stare, no answer. So that's the biggest part of the problem.
Just
they
plug
are,
into the wall.
Most of them, totally ignorant. And that's a big part of the problem. So we really need to screen our candidates and look at their past performance, because they'll come in front of you. And I am always leery of the ones that just tell you about their schooling and their family, and then they don't discuss any issues. I like the guys that come up and say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm against blah, blah, blah. And then I know what they're talking about and why I would even want to entertain them. But we don't do that. And because we were trained to view everything on feeling, how does the president get elected? Oh, he makes me feel good. Oh, he's so nice. Oh, he's so handsome. Blah, blah, blah. Can they do the job? I never asked them that. I would expect they could. So we have been dumbed down so much that we are not doing our job, although things, I believe, are turning around, and I am very hopeful. And it is going to be a long, drawn-out process because we didn't get here overnight. But the good news is that fixing it is easier than continuing to go on this downward spiral, which is what we're on. If we taught our kids to read in school, man, would that be a bonus plus. So stop using whole word reading as a method so that everything is jumbled up in their head and they have no order. And start teaching phonics and our kids will learn to read. Stop teaching Common Core Math, which says this lesson is 2 years behind, 2 years below level. Why would we want to do that? Why would any sane person take your child to school for the most formative years of their life and give them to somebody who you know is going to lie? Why would you do that? Because Americans have been trained that the only choice that they have is the choice that the government tells them. So the government didn't tell them yet. And that's what they expect when they go to school. And it's scary. And when you teach a child only through emotion, you're eliminating the left side of their brain, which is logic, reason, and critical thinking, and math, and things like that. And when you don't teach them how to use them together, they don't see a connection. So therefore, if my trigger word points me in the direction of blowing up a building, I'll blow up a building. That's okay. The people are people. Who cares about people? There's too many of them on the earth anyway. So what's a few people? And this is
really
society
a very twisted
creative
thing. Real quick here, Karen. Very twisted of how we use emotion for them to vote. Why with the white guilt factor when it came to Obama, the emotion there. At the same time, we make people emotionless. It's okay to kill others. It's really very bizarre how they have twisted the human mind and how they've manipulated the process here. It's unbelievable.
Well, people are different, and that's the problem that they're having with AI. And at any given moment, a person can make a snap change decision. So you will always have those people that will go out and do good. Then you'll always have those people that will go out and just follow directions. And then you will always have the people that will be totally evil and not care about anything and kill their pets and then start killing people. And unfortunately, that's human nature. If we go back and look at history, which is a dirty word, we would see that human existence was based on plunder and slavery. I'm stronger than you. I want what you have, so I'll come and take it. And if you don't give it to me, I'll kill you because I want it. Period. I mean, that was the Vikings. That was the Romans. That was everybody. They were always interested in plunder and slavery. And I just saw a documentary that I thought was very interesting from Thomas Sowell. And what he was saying was the things that are not taught in school, for example, is that slavery is about 5,000 years old. And the people who became the slaves were only the most vulnerable who lived in that area. Because the bullies, when they have free reign, will be bullies. And that's what they did. And so we shouldn't be surprised at this now. If we knew history, we wouldn't be doing it over and over and over again. But we don't. So we have a big job ahead of us. And getting the right people in Congress right now, I think, is probably our most important job. Because we could have the best intentions and we can have the best ideas, But if the people that we elect go there and lie and become Mitt Romneys, then, you know, we're going to be in a worse position because the people we trusted are sticking their knives in our back. So we have to be very careful.
Let me just ask a quick question. Do you think that the non-party affiliated individuals today are slaves based on the two-party system, which is totally illegal, and that because the Democrats and Republicans are taking the authority away from no-party affiliated, should we have a no-party affiliated people in our position of government, in our Senate, in our Congress, our House of Representatives, in our states, as the governor? And why don't we have no party affiliated when they're more intelligent, but they don't have the money and not being bought by big production companies?
That's why. You just answered the question. That's why.
They don't have the money.
Election
integrity.
They don't care about anything else except money. And we are the people that don't have the money. We're not the big donors. We're the ones that require more work. But what they don't realize is that once we understand, we are the most loyal. And this
and
is what
go on
with the scary
back to
part
the,
of.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's the scary part of the Republican Party. Because of Kevin McCarthy, heaven forbid, he becomes Speaker of the House. We're screwed. Because
and how sad
he will
it is
only
put
his big, he'll put his big toe in the water to satisfy, but under the, behind closed doors, he'll sell everybody out. They're doing it already.
That's why. We the people have to remain engaged. Assuming that the Republican gets control again, and totally, as Dr. Tolbert knows, the NPA thing, where I stand on that one. But if they get in there, and if they were to elect that guy, Kevin, to be the Speaker of the House, it's insane. But as soon as whoever gets elected, assuming, again, this is going to be the Republicans, if they don't win, it's because they're complete idiots. As soon as those people get in there, whoever ends up getting to be that position, you better start hounding them. They better not go with Kevin McCarthy. They better not put him as the speaker. Because
I was just going to say we have to be on them. And I was going to say this, the thing that I usually say after, and I stopped and I thought, and I said, now would that be considered racist? Because I would say at this point, we've got to stick to them like white on rice. Is that racist?
Well, I tell you, Sally, I would like to answer your question about electric vehicles. I'd like to ask for a bit of indulgence, if I may.
Okay.
Okay, because this is significant. See, look, when I was a police officer, I had part-time, I had an auto repair shop along with an Army buddy of mine. And in the course of working on cars for, 18 years or so, I learned a lot about thermodynamics, energy transfer, automotive efficiency, and the like. I mean, an awful lot. I learned a lot about electricity and the electrical applications and automotive systems and everything else. And believe me, this thing with electrical vehicles has got three components. One is political, one is environmental, and the other is social. And I'm telling you, it's talking about ESG right there. And with the political aspect is this. The red Chinese are calling in their chips. They're calling their chips on Joe Biden. That's why the Afghanistan withdrawal was so chaotic, because many of the raw materials, and I'll get into that in a moment, that are needed to make electrical vehicle batteries are located in three places, in Africa and the Congo, in Afghanistan, and in red China. And the Biden administration has mandated that by 2050, I believe 50% of all automotive vehicle output must be electrical vehicles. This is a mandate from the federal government, Joe Biden did. Okay. And who's going to benefit most from that? Guess who? The red Chinese. So that's the political aspect of it. But as far as the efficiency of electrical vehicles as a mode of transportation replace the internal combustion engine. Oh, boy, there's a lot to talk about with that. I mean, a lot. Because, look, batteries don't make electricity. They store electricity that's made somewhere else, either by coal, uranium, natural-powered gas plants, or diesel fuel generators. So there's no such thing as an emission-free electrical vehicle. It cannot exist. 40% of electricity generated in the U.S. is from coal-fired plants. So 40% of the EVs on the road are coal-powered, right? Now, the kind of batteries they're talking about are rechargeable. And they differ in the internal materials. You got lithium ion, you got nickel metal oxide, and nickel cadmium. The United States uses 3 billion of these two battery types a year. Most of them ain't recycled. They wind up in landfills. They are self-discharging, all batteries. I don't care what kind it is. They're all self-discharging. Even when they're not in use, they leak a little bit of energy. You've seen flashlights that are ruined from old batteries. You just left in there and you use the flashlight. I know y'all are familiar with that, right? When a battery runs down, it can no longer power a light or a toy or whatever it's using. You think it's dead, but it ain't. It still leaks small amounts of electricity. When the chemicals inside run out, pressure builds in the battery's casing, eventually it cracks. The metals left inside ooze out. That ooze is toxic. So is the ooze that leaks from every battery in the landfill. All batteries will eventually rupture. It just takes rechargeable batteries longer to end up in a landfill. That's not the half of it. You take a look at batteries and windmills and solar panels. These are three technologies that have environmentally destructive production costs. A typical EV battery in a car weighs about 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds. That's typical. Now, you take something like that new Hummer H3 they came out with, that damn battery weighs 1,900 pounds. That's the battery. It contains 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, and 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic. You got 6,000 or more individual lithium ion cells. Now, all of these toxic components that are in that doggone battery come from mining. You got to process 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for the nickel, and 25,000 pounds of ore for copper. You dig up 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for just one doggone car battery. 68% of the world's cobalt comes from the Congo. The mines over there ain't got no pollution controls. They employ children who die from handling the toxic materials in the mines. Now, are we supposed to consider these diseased kids in Congo dying as part of the cost of driving an electric car? And the main problem with solar arrays and these solar panels and like with this big, huge, big-ass battery they're building in San Francisco, the largest battery in the world, they want to power with solar panels and windmills. They say this is being green. But the main problem with it is the chemicals you need to process silicate into the silicon used in the panels. To make enough pure silicon requires processing it with hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, hydrogen fluoride, trichloroethane, and acetone. They also got to use gallium, arsenide, copper, indium, gallium, diselenide, cadmium, telluride. All of this stuff is toxic. So windmills are the ultimate in environmental destruction and cost. You take the average windmill, it weighs about 1,700 tons. That weighs about 23 houses, 1,300 tons of concrete, 295 tons of steel, 48 tons of iron, 24 tons of fiberglass, and all these rare earth materials like neodymium, praseodymium, and dysprosium. Each blade weighs 81,000 pounds, and then you got to replace it after, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. Look, this greed is a scam. It's intended to make the people who are the donors to the Democrat Party and these environmental social groups and these people in the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, it's intended to make them rich. It is not intended to make us more capable, more efficient, nothing. Fossil fuel is infinitely more energy dense than is electricity in an electrical battery. Yes, electrical vehicles are more efficient at delivering the power to the ground. There's like 70% efficient as compared to internal combustion. It was 30% efficient. But the fuel is more energy dense. It's more flexible. Electrical vehicles are not. You've got to put in charging stations for an infrastructure to support it all. It's crazy.
Okay, and I love what you're saying, because I had a show not too long ago talking about the facts, the truth about fossil fuels. So this is excellent information. We're running out of time, so that's why I'm cutting you off here for just a minute.
I'm sorry, but this really bugs me, because I spent a long time learning about automotive technology, and this bugs me.
That you're supporting my question. The question you're going to go to these GOP candidates, why are you lying about it? Why are you hiding the science? How stupid are you? Are you really this clueless? Okay, if you're this clueless, here's the fact. Okay, I'm sorry, what's that, Karen?
Sorry about that, but they're making money. They're all invested in China. They don't care about these are not Americans. They are only interested in the world. And as Sark was just saying, this is not designed to help Americans or the world in any way. This is designed to destroy. And they will make money, and then people will be starving on the street, and they will trade food for their guns, and they will do who knows what, and eventually we will have slaves all over again, and we will follow the same pattern all over again.
Absolutely. I mean, who's going to have 8 hours to sit at a charging station?
Can we continue this conversation next week? Because it's really interesting, and I'm learning a lot. Sally, would you mind?
We definitely can, because it's critical, because what they're doing, which the conversation last week was the fossil fuel, their attack on fossil fuels is to destroy our country and the world.
It
has nothing to do the environment or any of that. It's all for the negative. And so we definitely will continue this conversation next week. Well, I'll make sure we put it out there. But for right now, we have to shove it in the face of the candidates, but we also have to make sure our friends and our neighbors, here's the truth. You know, we want to save the environment. So if you want to save the environment, you got to stop the electric cars, because they're worse. Do you not understand they're worse? And by the way, we're doing all this stuff, which is, they don't, but we're the ones who have to spoon feed it to them. We have to make them realize the electricity that you plug into your house comes from somewhere. And by the way, you're not going to have that electricity, because they're destroying the coal and the fossil fuels, the oil plant that's used for electricity today.
Don't even mention nuclear power generators. Don't even mention nuclear power. They get the vapors when you mention that, and that's the best.
We have to deprogram and train people with truth.
Sally, could I just answer Dr. Tolworth's question? I'll be as quick as possible. I forgot. I didn't answer it. And that is on the no party affiliates. I don't think right now we're in a position to spend any money on registering parties in every state and going through all of those things. I think we're in a better position to get the right candidates in and take over the Republican Party, which is already set up, and they are already losing. And I think we are on a winning streak to do that. And then then we can talk about other things, because the people right now, I think, would be so confused they wouldn't know what to do. And I would rather see our energy on something that is winning, like getting new attorneys generals in the states, getting new secretaries of states that at least know what the Constitution is. They may not like it, but they should at least know what it is. These people have no clue and don't care. The only thing they're there for is money. And watch the stock market. It's going to take a dive, because they have all pulled out already. And what are they invested in? Green energy. Oh, my goodness, what a surprise. So
how convenient.
Yes, and awful. And what they intend to do is even equally as awful, especially listening to Naomi Wolf. So I would love to see a no-party affiliate. I think that would be a wonderful idea. I just don't think it's something that we could afford to spend. Our problem, I think, is that there are too many projects. And we have to step back and say, okay, let's prioritize what's important. If we don't get this election right, it doesn't matter. If we can't stop them from cheating, it doesn't matter, because the only way they can win is if they cheat.
Yeah.
And again, we have to understand that they are doing this emotionally. Why didn't they like Donald Trump?
Because he was a bad man. He made me feel bad.
He makes me tweet.
Okay. Hold on one second. Just, we're going to run a couple of minutes over here, which is okay. It'll, for those that are listening via the phone, you'll still hear it. Those who are on the internet, you better dial in fast if you want to hear the last few minutes or play it off the regular podcast. But, yeah, we can go ahead, and I want to continue this conversation for a few minutes. I want to wrap it up. Don't want to end it just quite where we're at here, so just letting everybody know that. Okay, and continue on with your final wrap-up there.
My
Darren.
Rant?
We'll continue this.
My rant, boy. I mean, it's the same thing. Okay, as I was saying before, right side of your head, of your brain, is your emotion. Left side of your brain is logic, reason, blah, blah, blah. Your brain is like a file cabinet with gazillions of drawers, but you can only think one thought at a time. So if I'm going to think about transgenders, what economy? What border problem? Who's not making money? What stock market? What's a 401k? I'll just sign where the government tells me. That's what we're breeding. So, again, we have the 80-20 rule, and it looks like there will be 20% of the population that at least is beginning to understand. And that's what we need. We need the people to understand what's at stake. They don't. And I think we need to go after the non-affiliated people and ask them to please register as a Republican in their state so they can vote in the primaries. They're giving up everything by not voting in the primaries. Their candidates will never be chosen. They throw in a lot of really great grassroots candidates. They don't do anything about it, and then the incumbent is always going to win. That's the way the setup is. So we need the NPAs to vote in the primaries, and if your state is a closed state like Florida, please, if you're an NPA and you value the country and you can agree with the Republicans 70% of the time, change your ballot. If you love the country, please, if you want to live in an oppressed society and be a Russian slave, then vote for the Democrats. That's basically it. We don't have much of a choice.
Yeah, we are back into a corner, unfortunately, at this point when it comes, and we need election integrity, which I know Sarge was talking about that, and we have to have people who are actually willing to do something to clean up this election process, because we should not be held hostage to the two-party system, which goes back to good old George Washington and what he said and he warned us about. So absolutely true. So anyway, thank you so much, Karen. Yes, we will definitely plan on continuing this discussion next week, along with maybe focusing on the executive powers and the abuse. Sarge, I'll have you go ahead and give a little bit of a wrap-up, then I'll ask Dr. Tolbert for some final words, his website, and also for him to close the show with a prayer. So, Sarge, go for it.
Well, thank you very much, Sally. It's been a great conversation. I'd like to say that I believe the thrust of this conversation is that by straying away from constitutional principles, the founding rationales of this country, we have created a far worse situation for ourselves, and it's getting worse every day. We are giving up our individual sovereignty, our national sovereignty, to a global elite that wishes to destroy the middle income, the middle class in the world, and turn the world into basically two classes of people, overlords, oligarchs, and peasants, serfs. And I think that's where we're headed if we don't turn this around and get back to the Constitution and people who believe in it and national sovereignty.
Amen to that. Thank you so much. An excellent discussion. I agree. This has been one excellent discussion tonight, and I sure hope people will share this with others, send them the link so they can listen to this, and join us next week to continue this, because it truly is up to us to spread the word and to make a difference when this election rolls around. We have got to clean up our house. With that being said, Dr. Tolbert, please, with your final thoughts, and would you please be nice enough to close with a prayer?
Yeah, and I'm going to give the thought that the Democrats have removed themselves from the Democratic parties. They've now converted themselves to Republicans. They put the name on the ballots of Republicans. We've saw the separation of the five parties that happened to include other individuals that said they were of a particular political party, but what they were doing is assembling. So the two-party system is now a one-party system, and I am totally in agreement with the fact that independent individuals need to come up with the funding. They need to change their position. The problem is they're probably Democrats and Republicans, too, that couldn't make it as a Democrat or Republican. So I'm finished with that. Now we're going to prayers. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, amen, O Lord our God, who can be compared with you? Who is even similar to you among all the gods? What God is great as our God, who is abundant in mercy and benevolence, in strength to bring consolation and salvation to us all? This is why we pray to you, O God, this day, not to be silent at the time when we hear the words of war and threats from many mighty ones of the earth. Forgive, O most loving God, forgive and show mercy. You are most compassionate and merciful, Lord. You will not chastise us in the wealth not instructed us in your anger. Otherwise, we would revert back to the chaos at the beginning before we became in existence. During the difficult times, be with us, Lord our God. Make us strong, for we have placed our hope in you and our fortitude in our encouragement by your name. May your words be confirmed, Lord, which you spoke to us, what you will be and what you are doing with us always, even to the end of the ages. May the hope of the Christians be raised up high, and may those who threaten us be put to shame. May those who threaten us with war and battles be terrified, shamed, and scattered. May the power be destroyed and their dominion be no more. And they will know indeed that your name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Hear the voice of our supplication, O Lord, and run away from the dangers which threats the human race. Dissolve the clouds of devastation from the possible war and satisfy your peace among us, so that you, all holy name, will be glorified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, now and forever, until the ages of ages. Amen. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you so much. Amen. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please, we are one nation under God. Spread the word, what we're supposed to be about, and get involved. We need to help each other. We need to save our country and continue to be in God we trust and one nation under God. Thank you so much, and we will talk again next week. Good night.
Good night, and thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.